Father, we thank you that there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. You only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Father, we stand in awe of you today. Such a mighty God, such an awesome God. Lord, we thank you for your presence amongst us. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will just quicken this word to me and to those who hear it, that, Father, we shall receive it and respond to it and take it on board. And, Lord, do what you're asking us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, when we were in service, a word dropped into my spirit, and it was John chapter 7 and verses 37 and 38. John 7 verses 37 and 38. And it says this: on the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." God wants us to let that river flow. Amen. He's pouring it out and he's saying, don't put a cap. Let it flow out. I said to the, I looked to find out why it was the greatest day of the feast. It was the greatest day of the feast. And what Jesus said about you who are thirsty, come to me and drink, that they'd all been stuffing themselves with food. And on the last day, all they wanted to do was drink, 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 drink. Quite appropriate that Jesus said, today, if you're thirsty, come to me and I will give you a drink that you'll never thirst again. He was so appropriate on all occasions, wasn't he? He knows what we're thinking and where we're at. I was meditating on this passage and it very soon took me to Ezekiel 47. This was a prophetic vision given to the prophet Ezekiel regarding the pouring out of the Spirit of God on his people. Oh, so much so that they couldn't contain it. Previously in chapter 37, 10 chapters earlier, God gave Ezekiel a vision of the valley of dry bones, saying, can these bones live? And God said to them, prophesy to them. And as he prophesied to them, he saw these dead bones come together. Ligaments, bones come together. Ligaments grew on them. Flesh grew on them. And finally, they stood up and God breathed life into them. And then they stood up upon their feet, a huge army. Amen. If you think that currently the church is in crisis, well, God has great plans for her, is all I can say. It's not what we see. This morning when I woke up, I was thinking of something Andrew said a long time ago. Why it suddenly hit me today, I don't know. But he said, when you're learning to do motorbike riding, Rob, you don't look down at where you're at. You keep your eye on where you're going. If we keep looking at where we're at now, you'll fall off. You'll fall in a ditch. It'll destroy you. Keep your eye where you're going. That's crucial. Don't let the devil get you sidetracked looking at what the now is. These two visions are a picture of the church raised to life by God and flowing with his spirit. And do you know, Louise, it's an unstoppable force. Amen. Nothing can stop that flow. No demon in hell can stop it. When God's made a, he's set his people by his spirit as an unstoppable force, then that's what we're going to be. And we've got to look to becoming that unstoppable force and not what we see ourselves as. Ezekiel 47 and verses 1 and 2, just a few points. I'm not going to read it, but it says there was a river flowing under the threshold of the temple, out into the world, bringing life to formerly dead places. There's lots of those around today. Adam had been sent out eastward from the garden, and these waters flowed eastward out into the Dead Sea. And it was, the Dead Sea is so full of salt that nothing can live in it. How appropriate that the waters flowed eastward into the Dead Sea. But you know what happened when the waters flowed into the Dead Sea? It brought it to life. Amen. Nothing can stay dead when the river of God is flowing. We see this, one other thing is mentioned there. The sin and death that Adam had caused to flow into the world will now be overcome by the life of the power of the Spirit. Amen. And that Spirit is a wellspring in you. And that Spirit wants to burst forth and flow like a river. We see this happening in Acts chapter 2 as the church is born, and it's flowing powerfully with the Spirit of God, calling all men to repent and be baptized. As Peter preached, 3,000 were added to the church, accompanied by signs, wonders, and miracles. Amen. God is very public in what he does. He doesn't hide it in a corner. In Ezekiel verses 3 to 5, Ezekiel 47, we see that when the Spirit is flowing, what is a trickle becomes a mighty river. Praise God. The angel led Ezekiel in 1,000 cubic increments away from the source of the water. Every 1,000 cubits they went, the water became deeper. First, it was ankle deep. Then it was knee deep. Then it was waist deep. And then finally, it was over his head. And it was, there were waters to swim in. That's God's abundance. That's where God's taking us. Waters to swim in. Interestingly, this is the total opposite of what would happen naturally. As naturally, the further water goes from its source, it spreads and becomes more shallow. Never forget that the spirit realm is completely opposite to the natural realm. When God does the same thing, it doesn't deplete, it gets greater. That's my God. He doesn't do things in half measures. He lets everything flow in abundance. In verses 8 to 10, it said, whenever the Spirit flows, everything flourishes. Wherever the water flows, stagnant waters become fresh, and life flourishes with great schools of fish. Wherever the Spirit flows, life abounds. Fishermen of the sea fishermen on the shores stand shoulder to shoulder casting their nets. There's such an abundance there. There's more than enough for everyone. The sea teems with all kinds of fish. Ezekiel saw an abundance being gathered in. He was seeing today. He was seeing Acts chapter 2. He was seeing the church of Jesus Christ, this mighty army, this unstoppable force. Come on, church, what's happened? What's happened? Where are we? Are we not getting excited? I'm excited because God, that's what God wants. He doesn't want a trickle. He wants an abundance. In verse 11, it said that the swamps and the marshes will remain salty. Now get this. Only where the river flows will life abound. In other words, only those who are prepared to let the Spirit lead them into the water will and go out of their depth will get there. We can't sit in the swamps and the marshes. You're not going to get anything there. You've got to say, God, I'm prepared to let you lead me into the river until that river flows over me and I'm out of my depth. Wow. Now that's a challenge. It says that there were waters to swim in verse 5 of chapter 47. It said there were waters to swim in. And I sat and thought about this and I thought, what does this mean? And the first thing that I felt God was saying to me, we have to abandon ourselves to the direction that the water is flowing. We have to go with the flow of the Spirit. There's no other way. It's not about struggling, but it's about stilling ourselves until every distraction is tuned out. Just go with that flow. Just don't struggle. You know, they say that if you don't struggle, the water will keep you buoyant. It'll hold you up. But, you know, we're out of control here, folks. Well, that's great. That's just where God wants you. Out of control. He's in control. And he wants us to tune in until every other voice is switched off. It's him and you. And to be sensitive and willing to follow his prompting. When you get to that place where you're hearing the Spirit and you've tuned everything else out, you'll hear his voice and he'll tell you the things that he wants you to know, the things that he wants you to do. It was interesting, a few weeks ago, Rob said, oh, I really wanted to play this song. I had such an urge in me. Well, that's a prompting of the Spirit. Listen to him. Follow him, flow with him, don't resist him. Mick tells me a couple of weeks ago he wanted to come out and kneel at the front. Spirit was prompting him. Who knows what that small action will do? We can't afford to ignore any feeling, any prompting, the Spirit of God. We've got to get this sensitivity to him and to flow with him and not cut him off. We're not going to fill this place. God is. He said it from the time that we moved in. And he's not going to work through man-made programs. I've said it before. God is calling those who are thirsty to come and drink so that rivers of living water might flow from his Spirit within us. God has given us this place, miraculously, brought us together, and now is looking for those who will be led into the river until they're out of the depth. He has to take priority in every area of our lives. When we put him first, he will ensure that everything else is taken care of. Because that's the type of God he is. Seek ye first the King and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I said a couple of weeks ago that we're in the third day, the day when the church will be raised up to live in his presence. That, folks, is revival. We are not going out. We're here at this point because there's a world out there that needs to see the river flowing out of you and me. They need to experience the flow of the river of the Spirit of God and be drawn in. I can't say I believe in rapture. The Lord's Prayer says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus, in his high priestly prayer in John 17, said, I pray not that you take them out of this world, but that you keep and protect them from the evil one. At some point, Jesus will come. But now is not the time. There's a work to be done. There's a world to see Jesus. How hungry are we? How available are we to let that river flow? That men and women might see and know that God's alive, that he's real, that he loves them, that he has a future for them, that there is a future for this world. There is a great future for his church, and he wants his church to be marching forward, unashamed about the gospel. The Spirit of God desires to flow through us like a mighty river that will take not just intake, but the nation. For this to happen, I believe that we have to be prepared to soak in his presence. Getting to know him in a deep and personal way so that we become sensitive to his voice. And during these times, he may drop into our spirit things he wants us to share when we meet. It's important to come together with our spirits charged, so that we're ready, already flowing and not at zero. Are you hearing me? It's no good coming to church on zero power. It's no good coming to church on zero power. We need to come flowing with his anointing, having heard the voice of God. You know, we hear him every day. And he says something to us every day. We need to. Like 1 Corinthians 14:26 says, and as Andrew has already mentioned this scripture, when you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or an interpretation, so that the church might be built up. We're here to be a part of the body, an active part of the body, a living part of the body, a flowing part of the body, a contributing part of the body, eager to share, excited to share at what the Spirit has said to you. And I tell you, God will take everything we say everything he gives to us, it will fit together. Don't ask me how, but the Spirit does it amazingly well. One as a hymn, one as a, and it will all flow together, because God is a God of order. But he's trying to get us out of ground zero and starting to move forward. The disciples in the upper room were together in one accord, in one place. Why? Because Jesus said, wait until you become endued with power from on high. Waiting, not the thing a lot of us do easily, is it? Waiting, waiting, waiting. But they were prepared to wait until the Spirit flooded through as a mighty wind came with power from on high. To achieve the river flowing out of us, it's going to take regular times of waiting on God, individually and corporately. I really believe God wants us to be available. And it may require a sacrifice on our part. But the question is, are we thirsty enough to let this happen? I am. To see the fulfillment of the promise, I want to wait, wait, wait until the power, the anointing starts to flow. And this one gets up, and that one gets up, and we're all charged together as one body, because the same Spirit is working amongst us all. That's really all I wanted to say today, to challenge us. Are we willing to let the Spirit of God flow through us? Are we willing to wait on him? Are we hungry for that river to flow through us and see the world change, see it? The area change, see the nation change. The nation's in a desperate place. We've got the answer. We truly have got the answer. And God is saying to us, come on, church, come on. Follow my Spirit. Flow with me. Be available to me. Listen to me. Swim with me. Swim in those waters, those living waters. Till you're over and out of control. I'm not out of control, God says, but you need to be. So that's my desire. And I just think it would be good if it's your desire. You may not have all the answers yet. We don't. But I'm hungry and I'm thirsty to see what God intends us to be. But it requires all of us to say, yes, God, I'm prepared to let go and flow downstream with you. Let that river flow through me. It'll be so exciting. So exciting. Don't ever try to contain it. You can't. You can never contain it. You just have to flow with him. And he does the rest. So, for me, that's my desire. If it's yours, desire too, then let's take time to soak in his presence and to come full of the anointing, full of the Holy Spirit, prepared to share, prepared to move as God prompts us, prepared to be quiet and listen to his voice and know what the Spirit is saying. Amen.